Well, tonight we're going to talk about the last lesson in our second part of the history of worship. And this is the lesson that really kind of motivated this first study of this idolatry. When I started this series, I wanted to do kind of an in-depth study of what we can look at and learn about our worship to God from each of the different dispensations. And so we've done that with the patriarchal age. But in contrast to that, I always wanted to also look at why men rejected Yahweh and why they were motivated to form their own gods. And in the process of trying to answer that question, I encountered all this other evidence where the evidence of the pagan stories and religion and all of their fanciful stories, it was amazing to me how it all tied back to a knowledge of God and biblical events in the book of Genesis. And so now that we've gone through all of that, we're going to answer the question that originally was on my mind, and that is, why? Why did men create their own gods? Last time we looked at basically where these gods came from. Where in their imagination did they come up with these gods? And there's great evidence that at least the very early gods were Noah and his sons and grandsons that were made into gods after their death. And then on the other side, men like Nimrod, the mighty hunter, as rebellious and unrighteous as he was deified and worshipped as a god, and probably some of his descendants and men like him. Well, tonight we're going to take a look at why such events like the Tower of Babel happened. Why did men get to a point where they wanted to make a name for themselves rather than to praise the name of Yahweh? Why did that happen? And so, when we talk about why this happened, it involves a study of course, religion. And what was interesting, I found some things in this study that you can't just go to a library and start looking at the origin of idolatry. Because most of these experts and scholars are writing from a perspective that they don't believe in God. And so they don't really look at it as idolatry or paganism. And so it becomes more like a study of religion. And so there's a couple different standpoints questions that come about. One is this question of why did men create religion? And that's what's dealt with by a lot of these scholars and experts and so forth, because they are writing from the perspective of paganism. And so we're going to look at that as well. Because the interesting thing is, you look at all the creatures that are on the face of the earth, no matter how you think we got here, everyone understands we are the only creatures that are religious, that is seeking something above and beyond ourselves to serve, to worship, or at least to put our energy and trust into. But from our standpoint, we not only want to know why. Why did man create religion? And why did they form their own gods? But we also want to ask the question, why did they reject Yahweh? Why was the worship and service of the God that created them something they didn't want to continue in? We're going to answer that question last. And we're going to start with, why did all of these gods come about? There is a biblical answer to this, and it comes to life more and more to me. Romans, if you would, chapter 1. The more I study this, the more I see in Romans chapter 1 as to the answer the Bible gives as to why men rejected God and created their own gods. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of this world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, and we have seen that in this series, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculation, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. And therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also, men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. And so as we look at this, tonight we're going to take a look and add a little bit of meat to Romans chapter 1. But it really does explain why all this happened. And I think it's an important study because it's the same reason or reasons that people turn away from God today and go into the world. When you talk about a study of religion, I found this interesting. The study of religion can be broken down into two periods or two categories. Number one, part of a study is what is called prehistorical. And what is meant by that is that it's a study of religion of men before writing. Before men wrote things down and could preserve what they were able to write down. And so experts study such things as ancient burial sites or cave drawings and things like that to try to learn what men believed in and what they worshipped and served. And you can imagine, this is a little bit of a harder type of study because you're not dealing with written evidence that is written by the man and the thoughts, or the mind and the thoughts of man, but you're trying to interpret these drawings and these burial rituals and trying to understand what they tell us about these people and their religion. But most of what we study is what's called historical religion. The historical period. And this is a study where religion, where men wrote about their beliefs and practices, and it was preserved, and we can look at it and read it and learn from it. And so you obviously understand that much of what we're dealing with as we talk about religion outside of the Bible, what we can learn about it, is from the historical period. Much more information and much better information. But as we ask this question of why, we're going to look at both of these periods. Evidence from the prehistorical as well as the historical. And so when you ask the question of why have men become religious? It seems that everyone has seen the evidence that man appears to have always been religious from the ancient of times. Man has sought some type of God to worship or to put his trust in or to serve. Why is that? R. Merritt states, man is incurably religious. Religion is a constant and universal feature of man's mental life. And there's many such statements by experts. Well, one of the answers that is given by experts as to why religion was created in the first place from the ancient of times is was because man had this feeling that he was all alone. And we live in a world where we're filled with people and big cities and all of that, but in the ancient times it was not such. And there was a lot of vastness where people lived. And so there's this belief that man decided to create religion. As Gaius Glenn Atkins states, our loneliness and the questing longing of humanity, which has from the first felt itself alien to the order about it, have been great stimuli to religion. In other words, what he is saying is that man has always had this longing to understand or to feel that he is not this alien in this vastness of this earth that he lives in. And because of that quest, it's been a great stimuli for religion over the history of mankind. Man felt lonely, and so this was his way of coping with that. And from a biblical standpoint, we would say if that is a reason, and I believe that is a great possible reason why some of this idolatry and paganism developed, it is not the fault of God, that God did not leave man all alone. In fact, Yahweh said in the very beginning, it is not good for man to be alone. If this is a bona fide reason, it's because man left God. And God left man simply because he decided to worship sin and live in that sin, as Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, that our sin takes us away from God. He closes his ears and he closes his eyes because of our sin. But I believe that could be a reason why some of this paganism came about. Once men rejected Yahweh, there are many people that without a religious body like a church, without God, feel all alone in this world, even today. Number two, there are some that believe that religion came about because of man's own fears. Again, go back to the ancient of times. Man was stuck in a world filled with unknowns. He was challenged to survive that which he didn't really understand. Things like death, illness, food supply or a lack thereof, storms, the vastness of the sky are just a few things that motivated man to seek help from beyond this world. I mean, you take a look at death. Even today, men don't understand it. They don't cope with it. A lot of it is because they simply don't want to know or understand why death comes about. And so men have come with a number of ways or reasons to deal with the mystery, as they see it, of death. Many, if not most of them, are not rituals or ways that are going to help at all. But God helps with all of these things. And so you can imagine that this is truly a way that, and a reason why man created his own religion, his own gods, because there's things in this world like natural catastrophes that are beyond us, beyond our ability. There are times where we just feel like we just have no ability, no power over things. And even today is when men seek God or maybe their own way, their own gods. Atkins, going back to him, says, fear and helplessness and perplexity have been shaping forces in religion though not the only forces. In fact, in the study of religion, you learn something, and when we study this from time to time, even within the Bible, what we call these ancient mystery cults. And a lot of these mystery cults, not just idolatry itself, but a lot of these mystery cults came about because of these fears of this world that we can't understand or have power over, or these things in the world we don't understand. These fears became the driving force for many cults. Cults were formed to help man deal with these realms of the unknown, secrecy, develop rituals and beliefs to help them survive. That doesn't mean that these rituals actually had any meaning or power. But in the mind of man, it helped them to cope. It helped them to get over these fears and these mysteries. And so I believe that this truly is one reason, especially when men started to reject Yahweh, why they formed their own gods. Another answer given is what's known as animism. Some say, no, it should be called fetishism. But what this is the belief that objects, physical objects or forces that are in the world, are actually not just physical objects or forces, but they are gods, they are spirits. And so these things like the moon and the sun and the stars and trees are looked at as being divine, as being spirits themselves. Disney, that makes movies and never wants to portray God in any way in their movies, has gotten a lot of heat over the years from certain movies that show this type of idea, that objects are deities, gods. Movies like Pocahontas and Lion King portray things like this. But that's exactly what man has done. Animism facilitated an explanation of why storms and natural catastrophes happen. It's because the gods are upset. And so in a way, animism becomes another answer to the previous answer, where man tries to find answers to the mysteries and the fears of the world that go beyond them. And again, I believe that this answers some of the why. For some people, for some groups, it was this very reason why they started creating their own gods. We see this in the Bible, the time of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 7:18. God speaking through Jeremiah talks about what was going on with his own people during the days of Jeremiah. He says, the children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire and the woman knead dough to make cakes. Oh, they're just making dinner, right? No, he says, they make the cakes for the queen of heaven. And they pour out libations to other gods in order to spite me, says God. Moses warned the Israelites in Deuteronomy 4:19, you're going into the promised land. You're going in to where the Canaanites are. And I want you to be aware lest you fall to the same things that they have fallen to. He says, beware lest you lift up your eyes to heaven and you see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the host of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. Don't do like the Canaanites have done. Or Job, talking about the integrity that is in his character in Job 31:26 through 28, said these words to his accusing friends. If I have looked at the sun when it shone, or the moon going in splendor, and my heart became secretly enticed, and my hand threw a kiss from my mouth, that too would have been iniquity calling for a judgment, for I would have denied God above. Job says, if I would have saw the beauty of the stars and the moon and blown a kiss to them, what he's talking about is act of devotion to them, then that would be a sin. But that's exactly what men did, and it's exactly what men do today. We may not call them gods, but it's amazing to me how many people love to go out and experience nature. Love to go out to the mountains and the forest. Love to go up to Alaska and to see the glaciers and the beauty of that and these huge wells that migrate there. And yet then they go home and they give no honor to Yahweh, nor credit. But think somehow that it all came by chance and circumstance, by the God known as naturalism. These are exactly what happens, not just back in those days, but today. Another answer that is given as to why religion came about is hedonism. Hedonism is the religion of extreme pleasure. This is where people decided that the meaning of life, the answer to why we are here, is to pursue those things that give the most pleasure. And so pleasure and entertainment become the focus. They become so focused in these things and so desirable that they become the very essence of their being. They become and they define who they are. In other words, they become their gods. And in the Bible we see that no doubt this was a religion practiced before the flood. Probably was a very big reason why God said, I will not dwell with man anymore. And why he brought the flood. But we see as well, it was practiced after it as it is today. Hedonism is alive and well in the world today. In fact, in some cases, and to one extent or another, it's in some churches. That the whole meaning of life and purpose of life is to do that which pleases you. I want to just look at one example. We can look at so many, but for sake of time, I want to talk about what is known as the sin of Peor, Numbers 25. This you might remember where Balak, the king of Moab, tried to hire Balaam to curse Israel. He would not do that. God said, don't curse them. But Balaam said, hey, I'll tell you the next best thing. Just invite them to sacrifice to your gods and to worship your gods. And that's exactly what the Moabites and the Midianites did. Numbers 25, verse 1. When Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab. For they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. Now, don't get this idea that they just went and they worshipped with the Midianites and the Moabites, and exactly the same as the worship of Yahweh. It's just that they worshipped multiple gods instead of the one God. No, this was hedonism. And down in verse 6, it gets very clear that that's exactly what it is. It is eating, it is drinking, it is being merry, it is playing. In verse 6, behold, one of the sons of Israel came and brought to his relatives a Midianite woman, a harlot, if you will, in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation, sons of Israel, while they were weeping at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Here was Moses and a contingent from Israel at the tent of meeting, and they are mourning and they are weeping that Israel is doing this. They are praying to God, and all meantime, God has sent a plague, and he is killing Israelite after Israelite for this compromise. And while all that's going, this man of Israel brings this Midianite harlot into his tent. He wasn't giving her a tour of his home. And you might remember that the plague that was killing all these people was stopped by God when the son of the high priest, Phinehas, went into that tent and killed both of them for their unrighteousness. It was hedonism. And became one of the leading reasons Israel wanted to be like the other nations round about them. And I believe it's another reason why men created their own gods. I believe all these are answers why maybe this particular group formed their own religion, this particular group formed their own gods. But one answer that isn't usually given by these so-called scholars is that religion is instinctive. It is built within us because God built it within us. And it is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 that explains this. Of all the creatures that God created from the dust of the earth, man is different. God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Because God declared that, man was created not only in the flesh, but in the spirit. That we carry from the very beginning. It did not happen with the sin of Adam and Eve, and then all of a sudden this happened. It was from the very beginning, we were dual nature. We were flesh and the spirit. And the Bible gives us the answer. As the flesh and the spirit continue to war out in our lives, that God not only says the spirit has to win out, but God tells us how to let the spirit win out over the flesh. And Jesus went to the cross. So those times where the flesh, as hard as we want to, as hard as we try, the flesh wins out over the spirit, we can get another chance to let the Spirit rule in our life and be forgiven. And I believe that man, because he is created in the Spirit of God, has an instinctive, whatever you want to call it, instinct to worship something, and I'll put it that way, to worship something. A lot of times it's something beyond himself, but more and more today we're starting to see man worship himself. God took us as flesh and spirit and says, if you want to worship the true God, it's got to be in spirit, not flesh. Spirit and truth. And I believe a big reason why men created their own religion, their own gods, is because they tried to worship God, a spiritual God in the flesh. You see the difference? Fleshly creatures worshiping God in the spirit, that's what he wanted. But what ended up is to try to worship a spiritual God in the flesh, and that didn't work. And this is an answer that's not usually covered in the textbooks and the study of religion, because it's men that don't believe in God. And so, let's answer the second question. I believe these are all answers as to why men started their own practices, their own religion. But here's the question: why did they reject God? Who gave them every reason to want to worship him? We sit here today and we know that serving God is the best choice. In fact, we would say it really is the only choice when you really look at it. But here's the answer. It's the best choice. But it's not the easiest, is it? To serve God in spirit and truth, it's not easy. It takes a lot of focus. It takes a lot of inner strength. It takes a lot of spirit winning out over the flesh. And sometimes all of us can say, we just didn't do it very good today. It's not easy. When you look at the God of the Bible, even though he's the best choice, men saw God is restrictive. Throughout the Bible, God says to man, don't do this. And man said, I like to be restricted. I don't want to serve a God that says to me, don't do this when I want to do it. Or a God that says, this is not good for you. Compare Adam versus Lamech. Remember, God said to Adam, it's not good to be alone. And so I will make you a helper. And what did he make? He made him a wife. He gave him Eve. And somewhere down the line in the sentence of Cain, there was Lamech. And Lamech said, I don't want just one wife. I want two wives. I don't want a God that tells me I only want one helpmate. I want two. And that's what he did. And the fighting against God's restrictiveness continued on. Isn't it interesting? And part of idolatry was the creation not only of temples to their fake gods, but temple prostitution. Because Yahweh is restrictive. And there's a lot of men that choose to leave God and form their own religion even today because they don't want God's restrictions on them. That's too hard. I was listening to a woman today at lunch, and I wasn't trying to eavesdrop. She was pretty loud. And she's talking about her mom, to whoever she was with. And she goes, I told my mom, I need you to be my biological mom, but I don't need a mom telling me what to do. I'm not quite sure what that meant. I need a biological mom, but I don't need a mom telling me what to do. To me, that's kind of one and the same, I guess. But that's the way people are, even with God. From the very beginning, God is a God that can't be seen. The Bible makes it very clear, no man has ever seen God face to face as he truly is. The closest was Moses, who got to see the back of God, and I'm not even sure if I understand all of that. So what did men do? Men said, I want a God that I can see and that I can talk to and that I can bow down to. And we can look at case after case, but look at Exodus 32 and verse 4, the golden calf. It didn't take but a number of days where they said, we don't know what happened to Moses and we don't know about this God, so let's go to the gods that we saw in Egypt because we saw them. And so they come to Aaron and they say, Aaron, make us a God that we can see. And that just continued on. That's one of the constants of paganism that God talks about over and over. The gods of paganism are gods that can be seen, but in order for them to be seen, they have to be made with human hands. And so serving a God that cannot be seen, praying to a God that won't speak directly back to you, that's not easy, is it? That's hard. And some men say, that's not the God I want. And I believe it's a big reason why men rejected Yahweh and started forming their own religion and their own gods. And I think as well, that worshiping God was and is not a party. Now that doesn't mean when it's done right that you don't get a sense of a feeling of goodness and being uplifted when you do what God wants you to do. But it is not a party, and that's exactly what happened. Men created a god or gods that they could what? Have a good time worshiping. We've already talked about temple prostitution, but as well, Exodus 32, 18, 19, going back to the golden calf. As Moses was coming down, he thought first, he hears this roar of Israel. What are they doing? It sounds like the sound of war, but then he says, no,
Verse 18, it's not the sound of the cry of triumph, nor is it the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. And so it came about, as soon as Moses came near the camp, that he saw the calf, the god that could be seen, and he saw the dancing, and Moses' anger burned.
It was a good time. Just like they saw in Egypt. And I believe that's exactly what men do today. We don't like traditional worship. It's boring. It's dull. And so let's make a worship that's entertaining and exciting and is a party. And no wonder churches at some point down the line started, instead of saying amen, started. Because that's what you do when you're being entertained. And so I think those answer the questions, not only of why religion started, why they formed their own gods, but why they rejected Yahweh. And I believe it's the same reason why men do the same thing today. But here's the problem. Man-made gods are no gods at all. Man-made gods might have been more fun, but what? They couldn't talk, and they still can't. They couldn't deliver, and they still can't. And I want you to remember that, because we all agree that money is and can be a god today. It cannot deliver you. Man-made gods might be more fun, but they couldn't fight. It couldn't give you protection and victory over your enemy. Man-made gods couldn't know the future. And God over and over brings that point up to the pagans, to Israel. And here's the amazing thing. Even when they see the evidence of it, they don't care. Even in defeat, even in death, they reject Yahweh and go back to the fake gods. The worship of Yahweh is not a party. It's not easy. But I want to tell you, it's the only choice to make. It's the choice because it's not of the flesh, he's of the spirit. And to worship him is spirit and truth. And when a person truly comes into a relationship, a spiritual relationship with God, then it does become a fulfillment. It does become something exciting. It does become something that fulfills you in life. And you've come to understand that. But when you want to change God, when you want to change worship, when you want to do it the way of the world, and maybe it's the spiritual connection to Yahweh that we're missing. If you're subject to the invitation call of Jesus Christ in any way, if you're ready to begin a relationship with God in the Spirit, not in the flesh, if we can help you come back and be renewed with Him, the one true God that created all of this, why don't you let that be known as together we stand and as we sing. I gave my life for